It is The Naked Scientists with Dr. Chris and Dr. Helen. And joining us now from the University of Edinburgh is Ian Wilmot. Hello, Ian.
Hi.
Thank you very much for joining us. It's 11 years since the Dolly days, I suppose you could say. At that time, when you created the world's first cloned mammal, there was no precedent for doing this. So why were you doing it?
The ambition was to be able to make genetic changes in farm animals so that they would produce proteins needed to treat human disease. That was the aim when we first started.
So how successful was it? I mean, we know you got Dolly out of it, but it must have been terrifically difficult to actually make this happen, which is why, you know, you got such an accolade for doing it. But why is it so difficult?
Well, I think what you have to consider is the mechanisms which control development. We all came from a single cell of an embryo, which is, you know, smaller than a grain of salt. And almost all of our cells have exactly the same genetic information in them. The way in which the many different tissues that we have are formed is because the functioning of the genetic information is changed systematically to produce muscle, bone, skin, and so on, all of the different tissues that we have. And we used to believe that the mechanisms which bring that about are so complex and so rigidly fixed that it would not be possible to reverse them. And the most important thing to come from the Dolly experiment was to show that that's not true. Because what it's led to now is people thinking, well, can we find other ways of resetting the genetic clock without producing an embryo? And people are making exciting advances with that area.
Do you have any feeling as to what the chemicals are that are in an egg that have those special effects of resetting the genetic clock in a cell which would normally be a skin cell, which is, I mean, you used a skin cell from the udder in Dolly, didn't you? Do you have any feel for what those factors are?
Very little. I would say this is the most disappointing thing of the past decade. People have shown that putting in four specific proteins into mouse cells can make them go back to the beginning of development. But as far as we know, nobody's been successful in applying the same approach with human cells. And the efficiency is extraordinarily low, with less than 0.1% of the cells being changed in that way. So it seems that we have a lot more still to learn about this mechanism.
So to put that in perspective, you were, say, making 1,000 potential embryos and one of them would turn into a potential Dolly.
Well, the one in 1,000 is actually cells without making an embryo. The efficiency, if you go through the embryo route at the present time, is something like 2 or 3% would become an offspring, depending on species and all sorts of things like that.
Why do you think it's so low, Ian?
Well, I think we should still be surprised that it works at all because the mechanisms, you know, are so rigidly fixed. That's why tissues tend to stay in a particular state in a relatively stable way. And, of course, the egg did not evolve to achieve this particular change. What we're doing is taking advantage of mechanisms which normally function to modify the mechanisms on the DNA coming in from the sperm, and different mechanisms for the DNA which is already residing in the egg at the time of fertilization. And there's no reason why they should work perfectly with genetic information coming in from an adult cell.
Why do you think it's so much easier to do this? I say easier, relatively speaking, to do this on, say, a mouse than it is with a bigger animal.
It may well be that it's easier to do experiments with the mouse, and therefore more experiments have been done. And if we were able to do as many with other species, that the efficiency would become similar. But there are differences between species. Just to give you one example, when you put the genetic information into an unfertilized egg during ordinary cloning, you also have to stimulate the egg to resume development. If you do this in the sheep, it really makes no difference at all, as far as we know, whether you introduce the genetic information and stimulate development at the same time or differently. In the mouse, you have to delay the process of activation, as we call it. You have to delay the time when you stimulate the egg to resume development. The cow is between the two. It's an advantage to delay the activation, but it's not actually essential. So just a simple thing like that can have profound effects on the success rate. And again, we don't understand that.
Now, some people have said, just to wrap up, that when you do this technique, there is a danger that it may genetically alter the individual concerned. They may have some kind of premature aging phenomenon going on. Is there any evidence for that? And if so, why?
Well, I don't think that the premature aging is associated with what genetic change in the sense of a mutation, and there probably is some evidence of mutation, but you know, comparatively little. The main problem seems to be whether or not the functioning of the cell is restored to a normal state for an embryo or not. The business of premature aging is just a small component of resetting the length of the bodies called telomeres, which are at the end of our chromosomes, and each time a cell divides, the telomere is shortened so that beyond a certain point, the cell is no longer able to divide. The answer to your question about that is that there are one or two experiments, and the Dolly experiment is one. The other one that I can think of is with cattle carried out in Japan. There are one or two experiments where the telomere length was not restored, but in the vast majority of experiments where people have looked, telomere length has been restored perfectly normally.
Which is encouraging news. Thank you very much, Ian Wilmot. That's Ian Wilmot. He's from the University of Edinburgh, and he was the creator of the first cloned mammal, and that was Dolly the sheep back in 1996.